Let us now open God's Word together this morning to the book of Psalms. The text that we will look into on the occasion of the baptisms will be Psalm 128. And let's read at this time Psalms 127 and 128. They're placed side by side in the Holy Scriptures. They go together. And they also have this in common, that they are Song of Degrees or Song of Ascent, sung by God's children as they would ascend Mount Zion for the hour of worship. So Psalm 127, which you recall is a Psalm of Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now our text, Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. May God bless His Word this morning to our hearts. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as the children of God, we want to be happy in our homes, in our families, and in our marriages. No one wants or should want to be miserable. Sometimes the impression is left that if we are sincerely pursuing holiness, and if our focus is upon heaven as it ought to be, then it is wrong for us to be happy. We should be a sad sack, but this is not true. Certainly, if we have the hope of heaven in our hearts this morning, and if we have the assurance of the wonderful forgiveness of our sins in the precious blood of the Son of God, then we ought to be characterized by a sincere, true, lasting spiritual joy. It's not wrong to be happy. The very first public sermon of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Sermon on the Mount, began with this proclamation from the lips of the Savior: blessed, literally, happy, fulfilled, satisfied. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the pure in heart. Happy are you. And the very first psalm in the Psalter begins with the words, blessed, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of scorners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The Scriptures promise joy to those who by grace repent of their sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not wrong to be happy. But what we need to understand in our marriages and in our homes and in our personal lives and as a life as a teenager, that the real issue is, where will I find happiness in my heart? How do I come to that joy? The world, does it not promise you happiness in many different ways? Especially, do they not promise you that happiness is your right and that it's really found in going your way? The world says happiness will be found in possessions, in popularity, in power, in promotions on the job, or in the pleasures of sin. Yet the Bible is clear. Happiness will not be found in any of those that we just mentioned. But happiness is to be found in a person. It is to be found in the living God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. We are happy only when by grace we have been brought to know Him, and when we are brought in love to bow before Him and to fear and to stand in submission to Him. When by grace we personally are yielded unto Him and following Him and bowing before Him and trusting and obeying in Him, we will be happy. The first verse, blessed is everyone, happy is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. Are you this morning happy? The true happiness, not the bubble, soap bubble, plastic happiness of a world, but the true happiness of Jesus Christ. Do you know that in your heart? The answer to that question, are you happy, is to be found in the answer to this question, how are you doing spiritually? If you are doing well spiritually, if God is reverenced in your heart and you're committed that you're going to follow His ways in Christ Jesus, you're going to have joy. Though your body may be breaking down, though you may be under the heaviest of sorrows and circumstances, though there may be troubles. We often think that we need a change of the earthly circumstances if we are to be happy. I could be happy if only. But God says to us, God speaks to us who created us on this earth, that in the midst of the circumstances that He, by His hand, has placed us into, we may know joy. We may know His joy. God is joyful. God is perfectly happy. Eternally. With Himself. And as by grace He gives us draw near to Him in the covenant embrace in Christ, He imparts to us an infinite joy, His own joy, a surpassing joy, a peace. In our families, in our marriages, in our homes. Happiness is not determined by what your body looks like, but what your heart looks like. Happiness is not found where you work, but where you worship. Happiness is not if you had your way, but happiness is to be found in God's way. Happiness is not the external circumstance. Happiness is the inward grace in the heart. So Psalm 128 is of great help to us because it sets before us very simply, blessed, happy, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. This psalm goes with Psalm 127 that we've looked at in previous baptisms. In those baptisms we saw that if God, Psalm 127 teaches us that if God is left out of the picture, then everything is vain. That we are not going to get anywhere in our life if you leave God out of the picture or if you give Him a nod and a wink. But rather, when we look to God and we are dependent upon God, then we can expect His blessing to build our homes. And then it spoke to us of the gift of children into that home and of our calling to train them to be a straight arrow to fly at the glory of God. Now, in Psalm 128, following on the heels of 127, we see that these blessings are expanding They're expanding now into the whole family, and they're expanding into the church, into Zion, into future generations. God's blessings are going on and on. We're taught that there is a key to these blessings, the fear of God. We are taught that these blessings are rich. They involve both our work and our families. And then we're promised that these blessings will be bestowed upon us in the church. So let's look at that for the remaining moments. Let's seek at the psalm and we'll see how far we can proceed. The secret of family happiness. Verse 1 will give us the key to this happiness, the source of all happiness. Verses 2 through 4 will give to us the experience or the richness of this happiness, both in work and in home. And then verses 5 and 6 will be the benediction of happiness or the promise of happiness. Now I think it's very plain as we come to the psalm that the theme of this psalm, I've been using the word happiness, which is a translation of the word blessed, and that's certainly the theme. Verse 1, blessed is everyone. Verse 2, happy shalt thou be. Verse 4, thus shalt thou be blessed. And then verse 5, the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. And it speaks of this blessedness of God upon us as it's a blessedness that is not confined to some. Not confined to a certain time in our life. It does not speak of a blessedness simply if you're married or if you have children. But it says very plainly, blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. This is a blessing that is not to be gained when you're in a certain state or a certain income or a certain level of knowledge. No, this is for every one of the people of God. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're a young adult, or whether you're in college, whether you're married, whether you're old, it does not matter your state of life. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord. Don't look for a relationship in life. Don't look for an income. Don't look for what you have for happiness. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Now there are two words in the psalm that are used for blessed. You'll recognize them when I say them, Asher and Berak, because these two words for blessed were used as names in the Old Testament, Asher and Berak. And while they have each a different shade of meaning, the word itself, both of them can be translated happy. It refers to the inward state of the heart. It refers to the grace of God, what it is to have the grace of God in the heart. You could translate the words fulfilled, satisfied, content, filled with peace. So Psalm 128 is unlocking the secret to a fulfilled life. The psalmist is unlocking the secret for which people in the world would say they would kill if they could only find the secret of happiness. When they cry out in their hurt and out of their agonies, we want happiness. Well, do you want that? Do you want happiness? The only happiness and blessedness that a human heart can truly possess, that is truly real. Well, here's God's answer. This is not my answer. This is God's answer. This is the true answer. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, the fear of God, and walketh in His ways. Those two also go together in the Scriptures. They're two sides of one coin. Reverence for God and obedience to God. is the key to blessing, to happiness. The fear of God, the attitude in your heart of a reverence and an awe and a submission. And then that's the inward, the outward, walking in His ways, our outward actions and obedience. Are you happy? Grace says that there must be placed in you by grace through Christ a reverence to Jehovah God. And the strength of that grace that you are resolved that you will obey Him. And you will walk in His way, not yours. And you will be happy. That's God's Word. Are you troubled? Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Are you wearing down? Are you despairing? Listen. Listen to God. Everyone. Blessed is the one who fears God and walks in His ways. Let's examine those, if only briefly. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. And so that simply means, what that simply means, young people, is this. The more you fear God, the more, as we said in Heidelberg Catechism, the more God is God to you. Hallowed be thy name. The more we truly understand the first petition, the more happy your life is going to be, the more peace you will have. And at first, our flesh, when we hear that, blessed or happy is the one who fears the Lord, those two sound to us like an oxymoron, putting two things together that are opposite, like rock music or jumbo shrimp. You mean to say, we bring to this verse this question, you mean to say that when we are serious about God, we're reverent before God in our soul, we're going to be happy? Our flesh doesn't think that way. We think that if we fear God, we're going to be a sad sack. We might even be a person who's a little prickly and depressed at times. If we get serious about God, our flesh says, we're not going to have any fun. We're not going to have joy. That's the way your flesh talks within you. And so, the flesh says to you this morning, well, it says to the church, well, now wait. Let's just take God in moderation. Let's just tone it down. And let's hang on to something of God. But let's ensure that we don't have too much of God that we can't be happy. Well, beloved, all of that thinking is the lie of the devil in our hearts. God says if you take Him seriously, if you take Him for everything that He is and all of His sovereignty and power, you will have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You will be spared negatively. You will be spared many a foolish hurt and many a folly. The key to blessedness, fear God. Fear of God is that state of heart in which we stand before the reality of God as our God through Jesus Christ, represented to us in holy baptism, the marvelous covenant of God. Three words when you think of the fear of God. We don't have time to go through Scriptures to bring this all out, but three words when you think of the fear of God. Awe of God. Not a make-believe awe, a true awe. For He is God only. Amazement that God would love me. Awe, amazement, astonishment. Not only does He love me, but in His providence He works all things together, and He is ever faithful. Aren't you astonished in your life at God's faithfulness to you? And what we would have deserved and what our life would have been if it were not for God? Awe, amazement, astonishment. To fear God is simply to have a glimpse of who He is, the dawning of grace that He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, this God, my God, the only true God, the living God who made and saved me, is not to be trifled with. You don't trifle with Him. You take Him seriously. To fear God means that God and His truth and His Word and all the things of God will be the center post of our life. This is what we will think. This is what we will aspire to. This will be the starting point. We'll say to each other in our marriages, "Honey, honey, let's fear God. Let's reverence God. He'll help us. He's the only one who can." The extent to which we fear Him is the extent to which we will be happy. And then, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways." And so that simply means you cannot be happy if you're walking in sin. That's what that means. You're not happy. We may put on the appearance that we're pretty good. But if you're a child of God, you can't be happy if you walk deliberately in sin. When sin moves in willingly, happiness moves out. When self-love, my way, moves in, that's what I'm going to have. Happiness moves out. When fornication moves into your dating, happiness and the love of God and growth spiritually between the two of you moves out. When another man or another woman moves into your marriage, happiness leaves. When worldly friends, drinking, drugs, pornography move into your life, misery, hurt, ruin comes in. But when by grace there is a desire in our hearts that we want to be a holy person in Jesus Christ, when by grace we pound down our post and we say, "No, I'm going to make my stand here. I'm going to make my stand as a young person. I'm going to make my stand in this neighborhood, in my marriage and in my family. I'm going to obey God. I am going to obey God. I'm going to fear Him and obey Him." Happiness moves in. I was thinking of this yesterday as we observed the wedding, and I was thinking, what if we were to ask the question, what is the happiest moment of your life? So think a moment. What was the happiest moment of your life? The wedding? The birth of the first child, a little girl. Graduation, your house is paid. What is the happiest moment for you? The happiest moment of life is when we know and treasure God as my God and my Father, sealed to me in holy baptism. When I know that He has forgiven me and I'm in His hands, and He is in control of all things. And I want simply to walk with Him. That's the happiest moment of life. Read the verse. Happy, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in His ways. When our hearts know the majesty of God as our God, and our lives are in submission to His way and will, we will be happy. I think often as we leave God's house, we should think as we come into God's house. But I think of leaving God's house and how we should leave God's house when we have been under His Word. When we have heard His Word of Him and of His ways. And we have listened. And we have sung. Not just held the book up, but we sang from our heart. And we engaged in worship. And we prayed together. And we were here together for these moments on Sunday morning and Sunday night. How should we leave? We should leave happy. We should leave bursting in love for God. We should leave with a sense of heaven's peace in our hearts. If you leave a worship service where the Word of God has been proclaimed to you through sinful lips, and when songs have been there that you can use to praise God, when the worship has been according to Scripture, and you leave and you don't have peace, then you should be taking a good look at your own heart and how you're worshiping. This is the happiest moment of our life. When we hear God's Word and His ways in Christ Jesus, happy shalt thou be. Not a cruise to the Caribbean. It's a nice thing. Not the smell of a clean house. But happiness is Sunday after we've left church and we get together at our tables and we're together in covenant and we talk of God. There it is. There it is. Right there. Happy shalt thou be. And then you see the Holy Spirit begins to press that blessing now in verses 2 and 4 out. The richness of this blessing, the Spirit begins to push out into all of our life. And He says, the richness of this blessing will now descend in two categories of our life. Our work life, verse 2, and our family life. And then verse 4 wants to underscore that, so to speak, stamps the truth of verses 2 and 3. Behold that thus, what is the thus? Verses 2 and 3. In this way, behold, in this way shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. How will the Lord bless you? Well, He'll bless you this way, verses 2 and 3. First of all in work, verse 2. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. When it speaks of the labor of our hands, it is, of course, referring there to our job. The way whereby we support our families. What we do from 7 to 5 normally every day, except Sunday. But we don't need to limit it just to that. The labor of your hands, according to Scripture, is always the calling that God has given you to do. We are on earth as His servants with labor to our hands. We have something to do. We're not idly waiting for Jesus to come, but we have important work that it reflects upon eternity to do. We do. Nothing is insignificant in Christ. Not a thing. That's schoolwork. That's your final exam. That's your housework. That's raising children. Home with these children. All day long. That's your marriage. That's a labor of your hands that you're building your marriage. That's your calling. That's your place. You have a place in the family. You're a teenager. You have a calling in your home. You have a calling wherever you set your foot on God's earth. You as His child have a calling. God says, if you fear Me, if you walk with Me in My ways, you are going to find satisfaction. Not necessarily easy, but you will find in your heart, I'll give you satisfaction. This is the way God says I worked it with Adam already in paradise. I gave him work to do because I wanted to bless him. Because man is made that he experiences satisfaction. He experiences fulfillment in laboring in the work that he has given. But if you go about that labor, whatever it is, whether it's your work or it's your schoolwork or whatever, your marriage, your children at home, if you go about that work apart from the fear of God, apart from walking in His ways, you are not going to experience any fulfillment. You'll say, life is dull. I'm bored. If you say, I'm bored, boring, better look into your hearts again. We better look into our hearts. Are you fearing God? Are you doing the labor of your hands in the fear of God? There's a cause and effect here. Everyone that fears God and walks in His ways will be happy with the labor of His hands. He will be satisfied. The Scripture is saying, here's the bottom line. The Scriptures is saying, you will reap in your life what you sow. You will. You'll reap it right in here. Forget about God, disregard God, live for sin, live for pleasure, go about your labors, and you will reap nothing. Nothing. But in the way of reverence and obeying Him, you will get satisfaction. Psalm 128 at this point is going to the opposite of what we said in We saw in Psalm 127, except the Lord build. That is, if you do things without regard for God, if you do whatever you do without regard for God, you build houses, you raise kids, you pursue a career, you get a college diploma, you plan your marriage, you plan your life, and you do it without God. Or you do it in such a way that you, as I said, you tip the hat to God, you give Him a little wink. You say, yes, yes, but it's not right here. Then whatever you do is going to be unsatisfying to you. If you go about your life My way, if we get up in the morning and we look into the mirror and our heart says, how great Thou art, then everything you do that day is empty. It's worthless. But if by grace in the morning we get up and we say, Lord, teach me to fear Thee, to fear Thee, to reverence Thee, to walk with Thee, then everything you do that day, God will bless. He'll give you a spiritual blessing. Now, you might not see those blessings now. That is, these blessings do not come necessarily with immediate results, as the false gospel is of health and wealth and success. It's not going to be. God's going to take care of you for sure. And sometimes He's very pleased to bless our labors and give us so many of the things of this life, but the blessing is not going to necessarily be a tangible thing. But this will be the blessing. So you went about your day as a mother, you took care of all of those issues with the kids, and you maintained the house and the schedule, and you picked up kids. And God says, I will bless the labor of your hands. And this is how He does it. You may put your head down upon your pillow at night and you may hear the very words of Jesus in His own blood saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You say to Him, "But Lord, you saw how I went about those things. They were filled with my sin." "Well done, good and faithful servant." And the day is coming. Remember that the Holy Scriptures, when it talks about the labors of our hands and days, that the Holy Scripture does not talk necessarily in terms of each day, but it talks about the day of our life, the day of the Lord. And therefore you need to remember that the reward of your labor, the reward of your Christian labor in the home, in your marriage, in your work, all the hours that you are putting into it, all the struggles that you go through, you do this in fear of God. The reward of this awaits a day when the Lord will come and all of His faithful servants will be before Him. And what will He say? What are the words that He will say? "Come, ye blessed, ye happy of my Father. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make thee Lord over many things. You will be blessed by God in the labor of your hand." The second part of that rich blessing, verse 3, goes into the family life. The first is the work life. Verse 3, the family life. "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table." Now when we read verse 3, very familiar. He's obviously using figures from the Old Testament of a fruitful vine and olive plants. But as we read that verse, I believe where our focus should be is where the verse ends. "Thy table." Thy table. Where will you find the blessing of God in your life? Where will you find happiness? The table. The table. With your family. With your kids. With your wife. Eating and worshiping. There is where you find it. If I were to ask you, "Show me your blessing." I come into your house and I say, "Show me your blessing." You don't open your bank book. You would probably point, if you thought about it after a little bit, you'd say, "It's over there at that table when the family is together." This is what you need when you get married. You don't need a TV. You don't need that. God gives you internet access, but you don't need that. You don't need that. Don't need a new lamp, new rug, all things that, I'm not preaching against those things, obviously. I'm going to tell you what you need. You need a table. I was thinking about this morning too, that sometimes we like to be imaginative in the way that we can help people of God. Well, this would be, if someone wants to get it together, we could donate a table to every newly married couple. We give them a table. Just a wood table with wood chairs. It could even come from a garage sale. That's okay. They need a table where they sit down and eat together. Where their children that the Lord is pleased to give them eat with them. And they talk. And they open, the man opens the Holy Scriptures. And they read the Scriptures.
The blessing of God is at the table. Are you there? Everything the devil's going to do in your family is to get your family. I know there's legitimate schedules, lots of hours that we have to work. I understand. Yes, yes. But the devil wants you away from that table. As a man of God who loves your family, you have to stand and you have to say, this table is going to be an important place for us. I'm going to be here. I'm going to open the Scriptures. I'm going to be with my family. As I was saying, the conclusion here, see, we won't finish this morning. As I was saying, around that table, it speaks of a wife as a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine. And let me just mention that that means not simply the blessing of children, but here, I think in this psalm, the blessing is the focus upon what a wife herself, not necessarily a mother, but a wife brings to the home. And the fruit, a fruitful vine, a grapevine, the wife herself brings a blessing to that home, brings a blessing to the marriage. The wife does. And that fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of love and joy and peace. She's the one through whom God produces fruit in that home. So that a wife is someone who's not just decorating and cleaning and taking care of kids, but she is bringing a fruit into that home of love and joy and peace. A wife who is serious about God. A wife who her soul is being nurtured in God. A wife who sees that she must live her life alongside of her husband. And she's committed to do that for God's sake. That wife brings happiness, brings blessing into the home. And then it says the children are the olive plants. And there the point is that these olive plants were very fragile. It took a long time. The olive oil was what they were after. They were after something very important, oil, in an arid climate. The olive plant was very important, but it was delicate. It took a long time to get it to produce. You had to take care of it. You had to watch over it. You needed to prune it. You needed to care for it in the garden. This is the way that the man shall be blessed that fears the Lord. Contentment and satisfaction in his labor. A believing wife who brings spiritual blessings into his family. Children who are being nurtured to bring forth the oil of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. May we leave here happy. May we leave here committed that we will fear the Lord and walk in His ways by the power of the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the Word. We thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures. They are indeed rich. They are the Word of God today. They are timeless. And now by the Holy Spirit, do what no word and no man can do. By the Holy Spirit, bring the Word into the heart. And dismiss us with Thy blessing, that is, dismiss us in the fear of God and walking in Thy ways. In Jesus' name, Amen.